on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy getting you through a Thanksgiving Eve. Packers taking on the Lions tomorrow. I know where most of y'all will be around noon central. Just cuddling up on the couch as you enjoy some appetizers headed into Thanksgiving. Maybe even a meal. What time do y'all eat Thanksgiving, by the way?
1 o'clock.
Really? You got to change that.
Is the game?
You're going to eat during the game?
Yeah.
We're, I think, 5.
Again, you want to fight my grandma about what time we eat?
Feels like his grandma is your wife. They're the boss.
All Packer right? game doesn't trump?
Nope. It's not the first time that they've played an early spot. Oh, 100%. Like, the TV's going to be on.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I will be eating my meal and watching the Packers game, yes.
So, obviously, a lot of people are seeing this as a must-win for the Lions, just given where they are in the division, et cetera, and some of the challenges they have faced this season. Maybe not a must-win for the Packers, but certainly a win would go a long way to their Super Bowl hopes, if you believe the Packers are still a Super Bowl team. Rich Eisen actually believes they are. Take a listen to what Rich Eisen had to say on his show.
The Packers have Jordan Love, who has now gone 3 out of 4 games struggling after having that 370 against Rodgers in Pittsburgh. Can Jordan Love put it together? Have we seen it before? You bet we have, and we've seen it start in Detroit on Thanksgiving. They went and they arrived earlier than expected with Jordan Love a couple years ago, and we're waiting to see how much further they can go with Josh Jacobs now. Last year, one and done in Philadelphia, no bueno. I understand that, but to sit here and say they're not Super Bowl contenders? I don't think you can say that. Micah is coming for you. Defensively, they've been lights out. It starts in Detroit on Thanksgiving. We've seen it before. Let's see what happens. Why not the Green Bay Packers?
So he thinks it's a make or break game as far as Super Bowl contenders go. Chu, do you agree with Rich Eisen?
No, not yet. Because if you look at their schedules, they're all pretty much the same as far as strength.
The Packers, Lions, and Bears.
So, okay, if you lose to the Lions, then you can't lose to both Denver and Baltimore, right? It's just this is a year it's going to come down to that final game, I think, to who's going to win the division, because there's just tough games.
What do you think it's going to take in terms of wins in the division to win the division? How many wins do they need? Because that's the game you got to start playing with 6 games left. If you think 11-5-1 is going to be good enough, then they can only lose 2 more games.
I was just going to say that. I think they can lose 2 more.
And still win the division.
Yes.
Do those have to be against non-division opponents? Would it have to be those 2 losses against the Ravens and the Broncos? Or can they afford to lose 1 against a division opponent?
They can lose 1 against.
Yeah, probably have to go 5-1 in the division.
You're saying you got to split against those AFC teams.
Yes. And you got to sweep the Bears. I just don't know what the Bears are.
I don't think the Bears know what the Bears are.
I don't think they know either, but there's always, you go down to the Soldier Field and goofy crap happens, you know, where they'll go in and dominate the game but wind up losing. So, it's just, you're going to have to eyeball every team from here on out. Okay, they're playing Detroit, obviously we're going to watch, but the following week, you're just going to have to watch what they're doing because it's going to come down to the end.
The crazy thing about the Bears is that they're 8-3. And yet they've still somehow given up more points than they've scored.
Yeah. But that's always how they do it. You know? They've never had an offense that's like, holy smokes, they can light it up. They win ugly. Mm-hmm. And they've won ugly this year. But you got to give them credit. They're 8-3. You can only play who's on your schedule. So,
I mean, but again, you win this game on Thursday. I think we're all expecting
you're
the Eagles.
Good.
But whether the Eagles beat the Bears or not, you're going to have a game for first place in the division against the Bears the following week.
Yes.
But if you win this game against the Lions, you are playing for first place and control of that division next week against the Chicago Bears.
Who do the Bears play this week?
The Eagles on Black Friday.
So at Philly, too.
Are you just in your brain counting that as a loss for the Bears?
Even if the Bears win that game, you're playing for first place in the division against the Bears if you beat the Lions tomorrow.
What I'm saying is if the Bears lose to the Eagles, you're saying they'd be tied. Right, as far as wins go?
If
the Packers win and the Bears lose, no, then the Packers would be in first place.
They would be in first place, but the game would still be for first place in the division because if the Bears win the game, they would leapfrog the Packers once again. So no matter what, you win this game, you're playing for first place in the division against the Bears the following week.
This is a big game. It's bigger than people think.
Yeah, because
just based on the schedule.
You've got a great chance to make things a lot more difficult for a team that's made life difficult for you the last couple of years. You beat the Lions, and A, sweep obviously, A, you sweep them. B, you give yourself a great opportunity to win the division. And C, they're already on the outside looking in. They're already right now the eighth seed in the NFC. You bury them a little bit harder and make that road back for them to even be a playoff team that much more difficult.
So let's go to the next level. As we're talking macro about the teams, let's go micro about the quarterbacks. Which quarterback has more pressure in this game? Is it Jordan Love with the Packers or is it Jared Goff with the Lions?
I think Jordan Love because he hasn't played well these last 3 weeks.
Well, I mean,
The
numbers have not shown, but I thought Jordan Love played well in the last game.
Hasn't made mistakes, but there hasn't been a wow factor.
Right. Well, he's also playing with just that separated throwing arm.
That throw to Christian Watson to win the game is pretty wow.
Yeah.
It's a wow factor there.
But you know what? They got no one to blame but themselves. No one to blame. You lose to Cleveland. You lose to Carolina at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tie Dallas. You know? I just hope that tie doesn't come back to bite them in the you-know-what. Because ties usually do.
It can. It can work the other way, too. You know, if you're sitting there 11-5-1 and the Bears are 11-6, you have the better record.
Yeah.
So it can work both ways.
The game that scares me is Baltimore because they're going to be fighting for position. You know, even though Lamar doesn't look great, could get a little healthier. I think that's the big one. That's the make or break
one. I mean, that's so far away.
Yeah,
the Ravens have looked so different every time they take the field this year.
Yeah.
Like you can't worry about that one right now. But again, I think it comes down to we haven't, as a fan base, I think, celebrated like a divisional win too since you guys won in 95. That was the last like significant divisional win where everybody got excited.
Mm-hmm.
And we take the division for granted. But as Mike McCarthy liked to emphasize, and Matt LaFleur, Brian Bulaga, did tell us on Sunday, he does emphasize this as well. Winning the division unlocks everything else you want to do. Winning the division opens up those home playoff games. Winning the division puts you in a better spot to make a deep playoff run.
Okay,
so winning the division, I think, is huge for the Packers.
I want to focus on what Rich Eisen said about Packers are still playboy? Whoa. Packers are still Super Bowl contenders. Because I feel like there's a lot of the fan base that has sort of written that off. Like, they're a nice team, but they've been inconsistent, and they don't think of them as Super Bowl contenders. Do you still see this as a team that if they get right, can start putting a few things together, show more consistency, particularly offensively, this is a team that can be in the Super Bowl representing
second
the NFC?
Second tier.
Yeah.
Second tier.
If you have to list off the things you just listed off, Jen, and that wasn't a short list of things that you just listed, I can't sit here and say, yes, as of the 26th of November, they're Super Bowl contenders.
But what about on the 27th after a win against the Lions? Because I think that's what Eisen is saying.
Second tier.
Yeah. It's more than just one game against the Lions because you can win a big playoff game and then lose the next week. It's about stacking consistencies and, to use another old Mike McCarthy term, stacking successes. Like, they start stacking these, you go and beat the Lions, you beat the Bears, and then beat the Broncos? Yeah, you're going to have a lot of believers. Because now you've shown that you can win these games. And to win those three games, someone would likely have to emerge to kind of be that replacement to Tucker Kraft. Who else can be a difference maker on offense that you know you can get the football to, and they're going to be a big reason why you're winning?
You just don't want to, in the playoffs, go to Seattle and then go to the Rams.
Well, you wouldn't have to do that because the Rams. Because Seattle's going to be a wild card team.
Yeah, because the Rams are going to win the division.
Yeah. Oh,
or vice versa.
Or
right?
Yeah, could happen the other way.
If the Seahawks win the division, you can't have a top seed if you don't win your division. Again, going back to why winning your division is so important.
I don't want to overemphasize the eye test, but I do think that it has relevancy when you're talking about does a team look like a Super Bowl contender? And right now, fair or unfair. Based on the eye test, I don't think the Packers are a Super Bowl contender. However, this is a big caveat. I agree with Rich Eisen's point, which is this is a very important stretch of the schedule, and it starts with Detroit. You can argue that it started with the Vikings last week. That's a clown show team right now. They're just struggling. You needed to beat them, and you did, but it didn't look pretty, to your point, Shu, the way that you got it done. Again, you did what you had to do to secure the W, and that matters. But to your point, Gabe, if you start stacking success, if you follow up that Vikings win, with a win over the Lions and then a win over the Bears, even if you lose one of those AFC games, it does feel like you're gaining momentum at the most important time of the season. And then, again, I'm going to lean on the eye test. Do you look like a Super Bowl contender? Do you look formidable? Or are you sort of backing your way into these wins? If you're backing your way into these wins on a week-by-week basis, I don't think that's a sustainable recipe for success to be a Super Bowl contender. I think you're a playoff team, mm-hmm. and you might surprise a team or two here or there, but I don't think you're a Super Bowl team yet. So I guess I would argue with Rich Eisen that right now I haven't seen enough from this Packers team to say they are a Super Bowl contender. But there's still time.
Oh, there's still plenty of time. And the only team that you can really, I think, definitively say that about in the NFC is the Rams. Like, that's the only team that looks like a Super Bowl contender right now. But I also don't think that the Rams are incredibly dominant and you can't beat them. And as they showed against Seattle, they picked off Sam Darnold four times, had to hold their breath that a 60-yard field goal missed just to win that game. So the Rams certainly have their holes as well. They've just looked the best out of anyone to this point.
So are you saying that you sort of agree with Rich Eisen, but it's about what the NFC has looked like as a whole as opposed to what the Packers have looked like individually?
Yeah, I think usually when you get to this point in the season, and you could probably say this in the AFC as well, like you kind of have your eyes on, okay, this team's for real, this team's not. These guys are real Super Bowl contenders. Usually when you get to this point in the season. I don't think you've seen a lot of that this year. It's been such a wide open parity type of year. And if the Packers want to get into that cat, there's, like you said, there's still plenty of time. If the Packers go 5-1 over their last six, they're going to be looked at in that same category as the Rams.
Yeah, I agree.
If you go 12-4-1.
But then again, if they're the wild card, they got no shot.
But if you go 5-1, you're winning the division. Yeah. I don't know if you catch the Rams for the number one seed, but you're going to be the two or the three.
Yeah.
And you, if you're the two, you get to host two playoff games.
But and I don't feel real good about 5-1 right now.
No. Yeah, absolutely not.
What do they have? Seven left or six?
Six.
What will we take? 4-2?
4-2, and I would feel pretty good about the division. Because four and two gets you to 11 wins.
But I also think, to your point earlier, it really depends on who those two are. If those two are the Lions and the Bears, not great.
Becomes tougher.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you don't have to worry about tiebreakers.
Yeah, that's taken care of.
The tie has been taken care of, yes. So you're not going to finish with the same record as somebody else.
Yeah.
So the tiebreaker has already been taken care of. So 4-2, depending upon who it is.
Is this the toughest game left? Or Denver?
At Denver is kind of weird. Just because that defense is so good, tough place to play. But Bo Nix isn't very good.
Yeah. Peyton's a good coach, though.
800-990-3776. I knew that was coming.
Wait, he's Mike McCarthy with the better PR team.
I knew that was coming, too. Packers are still Super Bowl contenders, says Rich Eisen. Packers fans, do you agree? Have you seen enough from your team to think that they are Super Bowl contenders? As I said, I haven't. Haven't seen enough to say, oh, Katie bar the door. This is a team that can make a deep run, that can win the Super Bowl, that can be in the Super Bowl. But there's still time. They could still show me something, and it would start tomorrow in Detroit at Ford Field with a win over the Lions and then stacking success after that. Again, the eye test matters when it comes to who are Super Bowl contenders or not. And so far, I haven't seen enough from the Packers to pass the eye test. Gabe?
Look, there are a lot of great Black Friday promotions that are going to be happening coming up on Friday. But if you have a golfer that you're trying to get that perfect gift for, you just need to head over to X-Golf inside American Family Field, because their Black Friday promotion begins on Friday, runs through Sunday, and you can get 20% off your gift card purchase with a maximum of $300. That's right, 20% off sim time. All the other great things that they have going on inside X-Golf at American Family Field, that's what these gift cards can be used for. But give the gift of golf and do it with X-Golf, as they have the 7 state-of-the-art simulators inside American Family Field, overlooking left field inside the ballpark. It's a space unlike any other, and get the great view, get to work on your game. Nothing better. Again, golfers can be tough to shop for. So get them that gift card. Give the gift of golf and get 20% off your gift card purchase at X-Golf at American Family Field, November 28th through the 30th.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
St. Nick meets St. Kate. Hey, it's Jen Latta letting you know that the holidays are in full swing at St. Kate the Arts Hotel, where every celebration shines just a little bit brighter. Browse unique gifts at the holiday marketplace, gather for unforgettable Christmas Eve and Christmas Day dining, and of course, do not forget about Brunch with Santa, a family favorite filled with joy and treats and holiday magic. Celebrate the season at St. Kate the Arts Hotel and visit stkatearts.com/holidays for all of the festive details. So the brass didn't give us a lot of information yesterday on who and what and where in the game against the Lions. I am very curious about Josh Jacobs, though, gang. I am very curious to see if Josh Jacobs will be on the field. Your gut told you yes, right, that Josh Jacobs would be playing this week against the Lions?
I would be surprised if he doesn't play.
It sort of seemed like he was targeting this game when he missed last week's game, right?
So yeah, he was already talking about that last week of, you know, the worst case scenario in his mind was he misses against the Vikings, so then he's ready to go against the Lions. And Matt LaFleur said they didn't know until 9:45 Sunday morning that he wasn't going to play. So they put him through a workout in the field that they have, you know, tucked away inside Lambeau Field, and ultimately decided, he's not good to go. But if he was that close to going on Sunday, I'm guessing he's going to be good to go on Thursday.
Does it matter?
Yeah, I would think so.
No.
I'm kind of between the two of you. I mean, because Emmanuel Wilson.
Way to play the fence.
Was fine last week, right?
He was fine.
He did a nice job. Just based upon this year, I'm like, does it really matter? You?
Let's hear from Matt LaFleur, who talked about Josh Jacobs yesterday.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how he responds. I mean, I know we didn't have a full practice. Everything was walked through today. And so we'll just see kind of how he's feeling on game day.
I guess the question is, even if he's out there, will he be limited at all? Will he be 100%? Now, Chewy, I know you've argued that nobody's really 100% at this time of the year anyway. But, you know, Josh Jacobs has that physicality that he can lean on. And not saying Emmanuel Wilson isn't physical, but it is different. So, Chewy, you're in the camp of if Josh Jacobs can't go, Emmanuel Wilson can get the job done.
Yes. I mean, he is a little bit better, but based upon his numbers this year, he hasn't been fantastic. I don't think the world ends if Josh Jacobs doesn't play. And like I said earlier in the show, Keyshawn Nixon doesn't play. I'm more concerned.
But if Josh Jacobs plays, I got to imagine he's getting close to, if not more than 20 touches.
He'd be on a like pitch if Josh. Count. He'd be on a pitch. Count.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I think if Josh Jacobs plays, he plays. That's the way he has typically approached things, and it doesn't seem like they've gotten in the way of him. Hey, I'm playing. They're going to feed him the football.
I wonder how much it's changed. Because back in the day, if this happened to, like, Josh Jacobs is a guy that wants to play.
Yeah.
Right? Back in the day, if I wanted to play, I'm playing. Doc McKenzie, I don't give a crap what you're saying. I'm playing. I wonder how much there is of that, where the doctor overrides the player. Unless it was unless it was crazy. But if you're close, back in the day, we overrode Pat.
I think it's pretty close. I think it's a decision that's made between coach, player, and the doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, if the doctor says he's not good to go, I think that ends most conversations.
Yeah.
Jason's obviously told a couple of stories where Aaron Rodgers probably played through some stuff that, you know, the doctor didn't want him to play through, and he did anyway.
Yeah, Holmgren did that a lot. He'd go to Pat and be like, he's playing, by the way. You agree? Yes, coach.
I'm guessing after Holmgren left and Pat being there for as long as he was, I think Pat got a little bit more power.
Yeah, Pat got a little more power.
As time went on.
I bet he plays.
Lions ranked 10th in total defense, 11th in run defense, but there have been concerns about the Packers' offensive line as well. How concerned are you about the offensive line's ability to block and create holes for Josh Jacobs or Emmanuel Wilson, whoever it is? And does last week's game against the Vikings have any credibility when it comes to how the Packers will show up against the Lions?
This offensive line, to me, it feels like starting pitching for the Brewers, you know?
What do you mean?
Great outing, and they come out, well, you got shell-shocked, you know? Like Belton last week, they're like, oh, whoop, great game. And now it's like, Let's go to the bullpen.
Well, I think it's interesting like, you say that because, Joshy, we also have Matt LaFleur talking about the Belton performance and whether or not he will be starting on Thursday. Joshy's going to cue up that sound for us as well. Matt LaFleur talking about the decisions he has on the offensive line.
Well, we'll see. We'll see where we're at. We'll go through our preparation. But I thought, you know, he came in there and he did a great job. I thought he showed the physicality and the strain that we're looking for at that position. Obviously, he's a big man. First time playing guard, but I thought, all in all, I thought he did a pretty good job.
Now, that is about as complimentary as you are going to get from Matt LaFleur when he doesn't want to tip his hand,
right? Is that a word? I hate that word.
What word?
Physicality. It's so stupid. It sounds like a made-up word. It's got to be something better. No?
You had good physicality.
No. I was physical.
Okay, Olivia.
Physicality? How do you use it in a sentence?
You just heard how he used it in a sentence.
I wasn't really listening.
You just heard how I used it in a sentence.
How'd you use it?
He said physicality is a word.
Oh, okay.
No, I said you had good physicality.
Can you pull that?
Is physicality a word?
No, do you like physicality?
How badly do you
want to
get shellacked?
It depends upon, the context of physicality.
I think people don't like it either. I really do.
You and Homer, man.
It's just such a try-hard word.
A try-hard word?
Yeah.
Physicality?
It is.
It's not.
It's literally physical with an itty on the end.
I'm not a fan.
You're saying you'd rather just say physical?
Yeah.
He was physical.
He's a physical player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, guys. We've said the word physical now so many times, my brain's starting to think it's
wrong. You're starting to say it so much that you just wonder what the meaning of
physical.
It actually is?
Physical.
How is this an actual
physical.
Word?
Starting to sound wrong in my head because we've said it so many times. Do you want Belton out there for more snaps after what you saw this past weekend from Jordan Morgan?
I just don't want a rotation. I'm an anti, along with Gabe, anti-rotation guy. Pick one, go, unless it's a train wreck, and then yank him. Don't put him back in.
What is the benefit of a rotation? Is it going back to, is it an endurance thing? Is it thinking that one guy doesn't have the endurance to be out there for every snap?
No, it's they want to get experience to guys in case they have to play. And the problem for me, because I think we all know what the preferred plan for them is at left tackle next year. It's Jordan Morgan. Him playing right tackle is not going to help him, right guard is not going to help him play left tackle next season. It's two completely different positions.
Yeah.
So getting him time doesn't make sense to me. And I would prefer they pick one, and if they pick Jordan Morgan, cool, just ride with him. I would prefer, after seeing what we saw from Anthony Belton, that they roll with Belton at guard and just go, hey, Jordan, you are our backup left tackle. If something happens to Sheed, you're going in there. Next year, you're our guy at left tackle.
You know who hates offensive linemen rotating?
Offensive
linemen? The other offensive linemen! They hate it. Oh, Earl's going to play two series, and then we're going to go to John Michaels. Oh, great. Because if you're combination block, it's not the same, you know? It's like, all right, I got to help this guy. This guy can't do this as well as this guy, and I got to... It's just something as other players don't want to think about.
Okay, but going back to the point I made about how Matt LaFleur addressed Belton's performance, that sounded pretty complimentary.
Yeah.
So, again, I know he couched it with a we'll see, which I guess he gets paid by the we'll see at this point because there were a lot of them in the press conference yesterday. It sounds to me like Belton's the guy. It sounds to me like Belton is the guy he'd prefer to go with. And maybe you had the luxury of doing the rotation against a team like the Vikings, so you thought, let's get this guy some run, let's get this guy some reps. But a game against the Lions, where there's a little more on the line, where you need to be able to show that you're the top tier, top team in the division, it feels like maybe you just run with this guy who you just complimented. As much as
the offensive line rotation is about as bad of an idea as Matt LaFleur's ever had. The NFL's a copycat league. If you have a good idea, someone is going to steal it, go, oh, I kind of like what you're doing there. Whether it's a play, whether it's an idea, whether it's a formation, whatever. Heck, Ben Johnson stole a play from the Packers that they didn't mean to run because Jordan Love accidentally fell down, so they decided to run it last year as a real play when he was the offensive coordinator of the Lions. Nobody has stolen the offensive line rotation. It's a bad idea. We need to stop
doing it. The only thing that worries me about Belton is remember that preseason game where he had like six penalties because he wasn't ready to play?
Yeah.
That's my only concern because, you know, as a rookie, I don't know if you guys know, but players pout. They have a tendency to pout.
From my understanding, ex-NFL players might pout from time to time,
fair,
too.
Fair. I know that's not directed at me. It's
no,
more a Tausch.
No. Yeah, 100%.
But
and Bulaga.
If you're not ready to play and you're like, oh, Thanksgiving, my mother's making the greatest turkey ever and I'm not going to be there, and you're not there, which he clearly wasn't in that preseason game, that's the only thing I don't want. Because that could spell disaster.
Well, then if he's bad, then you can always yank him.
You could.
But I just pick one. I don't care who you pick. Just pick one. Pick one and roll with it.
Yeah.
Because you want to have that continuity. If you want to build to what we were just talking about and be a potential Super Bowl team, you got to have some continuity along that offensive line.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the best offensive line this year, but the way you've talked about it, the way Tausch has talked about it, if you have that continuity, that can make up for a lot of the lack of skill you might have. Mm-hmm. If you have that continuity and everybody knows what everybody else is doing.
Meanwhile, on the Carbless Talk and Text line, we have a lot of people weighing in on the validity of physicality. Jeff in Cedarburg says physicality is a sucky word.
Yes.
It's dramatic. Like it should be used in theater performances, not in sports.
Love it.
Chewy, I agree with you. I put physicality and efforting in the dumb camp.
One and the same.
I mean, it's only two so far, but it is an overwhelming. I haven't seen a lot of people being like, I love the word physicality. Physicality is a great description.
So you have a couple of people buttering up Chewy, and we're just going to say
vocabulary arrogance. That's all it is.
It's already on there.
Is it really vocabulary?
Of course it is. It was like the first one. Oh, excuse me. It was the fifth one.
How many
vocabulary.
Do we have
now? Oh, it's a lot. We're getting close to 50.
Are we really?
Yeah, we're getting close to 50.
All right. I like it.
I think my favorite one here is bird. In parentheses, the birds are arrogant.
They are.
So it's not like you have arrogant about your knowledge of birds. It's the bird. The bird arrogance.
If you watch
the
a robin, they start squaring up against you. I'm like, really? you weigh 9 ounces and you're going to try to take me on?
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, for real.
Never once have I looked at a bird and thought, that mother bleeper is threatening me.
He does. You get real tough until I get 10 feet within you, and then you fly off.
Ooh, well, that's
look at me. I can fly.
That's exactly.
Whoa. See? This is it's my favorite one.
Yeah. Robins. And then don't even get me started, because when they crap on you, they're doing it on purpose. Because you would do the same thing if you were flying over someone you didn't like. You'd be like, there you go.
What's the most arrogant bird of them all?
The robin.
Sure, it's not like a crow.
Crows, they're yappers.
They're yappers.
You know what I mean? That's
and they
all
have
they
memory.
Do.
Robins.
Yeah. Crows have memories?
Yeah.
That's why.
You know what? Right, why, actually, like, no. Why actually like people can't do that? Don't people crop dust?
Yeah, but there's normally
right?
no
like
stuff.
You're telling me there's nobody out there that they interact with somebody they don't like?
Yeah.
And then as they're leaving, they just...
Yeah, my father-in-law tomorrow at the dinner table. You know, he doesn't want a padded seat because of the reverberation. He wants the hard seat. Yeah. And then he laughs at his own farts he's really the only one.
So he can toot at will?
Yeah. No, so
you're telling me the boys aren't laughing a little bit?
They are.
Yeah. They're supporting. He's got an audience. He's putting on a show.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Ron and the Key just weighing in saying, I just tuned in, but if Chewy doesn't like a word, I think I'll go on the other side and have faith in my stance in history.
It's because Ron's a Scrabble player, I guarantee.
Look at you bringing it full circle back to the games. If you want to let us know what games you and your family play over the holidays, let us know that as well. 800-990-3776. Chewy is out on Scrabble in a shocking development. A blizzard of 300 grand in prizes is rolling into Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee. It's Arctic action, and if you want in, you just need to earn entries with your rewards card December 1st through the 18th. Show up for Thursday drawings and be ready for a chance to pick from a weekly prize board. As a bonus, there will be a jackpot drawing for all of the leftover prizes. So wrap up your year with Arctic action only at Potawatomi. More information is available online. You must be 21 years old and a rewards member to play Arctic
action. Your state. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like a, oof. Like, just, instead of a, huh.
Yeah. But that's all part of
you
taking the training law.
I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it. What the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Man, we got somebody else weighing in on the Carbless Talking Text line. Randy in the 414 who says, physicality separates itself in usage, that it explicitly suggests intensity where physical may or may not. I agree with Chewy. It could be considered an unnecessary distinction without a difference.
Two?
That's three.
Three?
Ah.
Shocked, yeah.
Well, as somebody who knows how many people listen to this program, three people is so infinitesimal. Like, it is decimal upon decimal upon decimal.
Why was I acting like three I was
people,
a win?
Three people is effectively zero when you start talking
you
numbers.
You got comment arrogance is what you have.
Put it down.
Put it down. On a roll
kinda
today.
Kind of do have comment arrogance.
Yes.
We were talking last week about the matchups between the Vikings and the Packers, trying to figure out where the Packers had an edge in that game. I'd like to do the same for the Lions game. Gabe, we talked about this a little bit earlier this morning. Of all of the matchups on the field, this is where you go this unit versus that unit. We've talked a little bit about the challenges that the Packers face with the injuries that they're dealing with, whether Josh Jacobs will be out there, whether Jaden Reed will be out there, whether Keyshawn Nixon will be out there, who will be at right guard, etc. Where do you see the Packers having the biggest advantage in their matchup tomorrow against the Lions?
I think it's their defensive line against the Lions' offensive line. Lions' offensive line has underperformed this year, and the Packers dominated. Even though Micah Parsons was on a limited pitch count, they played really well against the Lions in the first game of the season, and really that's kind of what's been holding the Lions back. Yes, they have Penei Sewell, but their center who retired abruptly this offseason, that's been, again, talking about replacing centers and how difficult it's been for the Packers. The Lions have been going through the same thing where the interior of their line has just not been very good. And if the Packers can take advantage of that, get after Jared Goff, get Jahmyr Gibbs to the ground. That, to me, is going to be where this game is won or lost for the Green Bay Packers, if they can take advantage of that.
I agree. Two things. Penei Sewell, who's an all-pro player, was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was embarrassed for him in that first game, so he won't be embarrassed. Now, is he going to give up pressures? Yeah, he's going to give up pressures, and they're going to help him. So it's going to be a lot of three receivers out, four max, chip or help. And they just got to get the Goff. Because once you get the Goff, he's...
You get him off his spot? Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, the only way to help him, I think, is with the tight end. Because you start helping with the interior,
yeah,
and you're leaving other guys on islands.
Well, you can
the
help him with
the
back. You can chip him with the back. Just slide him that way.
I don't know how much help he's going to get.
But
they are one of the worst pass-blocking units in all the NFL. And they've got bigger concerns than their all-pro right tackle. Like, at some point... You have to live or die by Penei Sewell, our first-round pick that we paid all this money, has to win against Micah. It's that easy. He's not going to win every time because it's Micah Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be giving help that you could be giving elsewhere to... I mean, their like interior offensive line right now is terrible. Terrible. If Devontae Wyatt can make any sort of disruption there, they're going to have real problems.
And you know that Micah, I mean, they like to move Micah around.
Yes.
I mean, one of everybody's favorite clips from last week was when he just absolutely annihilated the Vikings center when he came in because he was lining up, standing up, got a little bit of a running start.
Uh-huh.
So you know the Packers are going to want to try to, yes, hopefully he gets some isolation one-on-ones against Penei Sewell, but you're also hoping that he's going to move to the inside on obvious passing situations, try to get that pressure as quickly as possible on Jared Goff.
Because
who cares if you get pressure? If this was even Caleb Williams next week, who's a little bit more agile, Lamar Jackson later, you get pressure up the middle, a lot of times that quarterback can escape if they're athletic. Escape. Jared Goff ain't that guy.
But that's why I was saying Keyshawn's so important, you know, because if he's not, you're without your best corner, right?
Well,
I think
Carrington
Valentine's
been their best corner.
But still, you're losing a pretty good
player. Oh,
you're
still losing a good player.
There is a drop-off.
Yeah,
they did something I don't think we've seen with Jeff Hafley. When Nixon went down, Valentine followed Jefferson, which they've been pretty much stick to their side. So they clearly think there's quite a significant drop-off between those first two guys.
I got some numbers here just to go back to. I pulled up the ESPN stats and information packet for the game, Lions versus Packers, obviously. Goff, when not under pressure, has a 76 QBR. Now, again, I know I got a little confused last week when we were talking about passer rating versus QBR. 76 QBR when not under pressure is good for sixth in the NFL. When he is under pressure this season, he has an 8 QBR. An 8 QBR when under pressure this season is good for 31st out of 35 qualified quarterbacks.
He basically becomes J.J. McCarthy, is what you're saying.
It's not good.
Get some pressure on him, and he melts away into JJ.
Packers defense, meanwhile, has a 35% pressure percentage this season, good for 7th in the NFL. Gabe, I think you are absolutely right. That is a matchup that the Packers need to exploit in order to win the game on Thursday.
Yeah, and take advantage of, again, that the interior of that offensive line. Devontae Wyatt's got to have a big game being disruptive and preventing huge running lanes from Jahmyr Gibbs. If you get to Gibbs early, you're able to get him down. Once he gets that head of steam going, gets past the line of scrimmage, best of luck bringing him down.
I heard something interesting on the Mina Kimes podcast that the Packers are number one in the NFL against outside zone, and that is what Jahmyr Gibbs does the best. The Packers are only giving up 2.8 yards a carry. It's not totally shocking to see why. You've got those really fast linebackers, and then your edges are pretty good against the run. So they said effectively that is the Packers' best option to stopping Jahmyr Gibbs. But he's one of those guys who any sort of crease can be a 60-yard touchdown.
So in your mind, does it make it more important that Quay plays then? Because he has that speed advantage over Isaiah McDuffie.
Yes, I think that is big. I also think the Lions might look to go play-action passing game. And the Packers' corners have been so, so aggressive just because the pass rush gets there so fast.
Yeah.
But if they got time, I mean, Jameson Williams will run by literally anyone.
But are we discounting the fact that this is the second highest scoring team in the league? So they score points.
They're Jekyll and Hyde, though, man.
But they score points.
Yeah, but they also don't. You know, like, yeah, they scored 44 against Washington. The next week they scored nine.
Yeah, the Philly game.
But even before that, they scored 24 against Minnesota. They gave up 27 against Minnesota.
Yeah.
Only scored 17 against Kansas City.
I'm just trying
to get, so they've been kind of riding that wave of kind of up and down. And
according to the stats and information packet, the Lions, 29.6 points per game this season, is second in the NFL behind the Colts only with 31. Six games with 30 points this season or more. That's tied with the Seahawks and Bills for most in the NFL. Craig Carmazan just walked into the studio. He's hanging patiently over here. Craig, did you want to say hello? Did you want to hang out with us? It's nice to see you. Happy Thanksgiving.
I just saw all three of you are here. I was going in to see Joshy, and then I saw all three of you are here, so I was planning to see you during the commercial
break.
Yeah,
we talked about this the other day. It's like a full moon.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that often.
And it's
a big day.
Yeah, I was
going to say, what is that?
Wait, you don't know this station?
The Squawk?
94.5?
The Squawk?
Unfamiliar.
Wait, really?
Well, I thought you were going to walk in with a WKRP in Cincinnati, and then I would have been excited.
Well, tomorrow is the big turkey drop at WKRP in Cincinnati. That was the famous episode, right?
I don't think I know that episode.
The turkey drop?
Wait, WKRP?
I know the show.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
I can sing the jingle.
Baby, if you ever wondered. Yeah, the most famous episode ever was their turkey episode where they did a promotion where they dropped turkeys.
Oh, I do remember.
And they didn't realize turkeys can't fly.
Yeah.
And they dropped the turkeys out of a plane and the turkeys, yeah.
No, turkeys can fly. They just can't fly very far.
Yeah,
they meet their ultimate demise.
Not a good radio promotion.
I have watched turkeys fly from the ground in my backyard up to the top of the kids' playground playset.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
Angie,
very surprised.
Angie told me she hit a turkey like a week ago and so sad. And we were in the same car coming back. And she's like, there's a turkey I killed. And I'm like, that's a pheasant.
I do always think in Wisconsin.
You guys are perfect for each other. You guys are absolutely perfect.
But in Wisconsin, when people are like, oh, turkey hunting's the toughest. Like in my neighborhood, like you could walk up and like pretty much pet the turkey. And I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it'd be that hard. Wait, does anyone on YouTube, do people not know the Squawk? I mean, Joshy? Have people identified it?
I'm clueless.
I'm shocked.
What is it?
Tonight, 7 o'clock. Hawkins, Indiana, 94.5,
oh,
the Squawk.
Oh, Stranger Things.
Oh,
Season 5.
Oh. Season 5 tonight.
It's Season 5
tonight.
Tonight. Tonight,
oh, that's
7 o'clock.
You just made my day.
Dude, it's been 4 years.
Yeah.
Dude, 4 years. Four episodes dropped tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, as long of a wait for a show as there's like ever been, and Dustin wears this throughout the trailer, and I saw it was 94.5. I thought,
well, do you know why? You know why I get the TV tonight?
No,
because the kids have been home.
Yeah,
tonight's the biggest rage night of the year.
Oh, so they'll be out.
So I get the TV. Stranger Things.
I don't know. I think millennials still rage on this night. I think Gen Z, they don't like do anything.
No, they don't.
They're
kind of,
yeah.
boring.
So I'm glad that you mentioned that four episodes are dropping, because I got to be honest with you, from a viewing, watching, like, habit standpoint, I will not do a single episode. Because I get sucked in, and then I'm like, oh, wait, there's not another one for a week? Groan. Like, yeah. I want to be able to binge a few episodes.
Well, but these Stranger Things is so good, I think, in any way. Like, again, after 4 years when a show this good drops, I think they could do it however they want. I'm with you. I would way rather watch a bunch of shows rather than one.
I'm one and done.
Well, but, like, I mean, these episodes are going to be, like, 90 minutes a pop.
Yeah, no, they're going to be, like, 55 to, like, an hour five-ish.
Okay.
Yeah. The initial
season four, everything was over an hour.
I know. There was, when they originally, like, people put it online, there was like hour 30, 2 hours. They're not, I mean, the Duffer brothers have said they're not going to be that long.
You're a big fan, huh?
Yeah. I mean, awesome. There are not that many shows that to me are like transcendent. And especially when you look at this generation, like, there aren't like shows that are like, you know, like, so for my daughter's age, like 15-year-old, like, this is like, they probably have Summer I Turned Pretty and this. Are like the two shows that like probably everyone would watch that are new. Like everyone watches Gilmore Girls and all that. But like, yeah, it isn't like how when we grew up, like, where there's all these shows. So like to me, Stranger Things, for them to have the final season after 4 years, this is massive. Like for the 2000s, right? I mean, what do you have? Breaking Bad. Like what
Game of Thrones
might be the biggest. Like that was, I remember that last episode. That felt like it was gonna be like the last big TV show of all time. But Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad. I mean, did Sopranos go into the 2000s or did that end in the 90s?
No, it went into the 2000s. Yeah, that went into the 2000s
really?
For sure.
Wow.
I'm like, I don't know. Like the, when you think about the biggest show, Stranger Things got to be like top five of the century, right? At this point,
how old do you think all those actors are at this point?
Oh, they're almost in their 30s.
No.
Well, Elle, 11, is like married with kids.
Yeah.
She's married to John Bon Jovi's son, I believe.
What? Oh, I think it was Billy Joel's son. I thought no is it Billy John Bon Jovi's?
I don't think Billy Joel has any sons.
Yeah,
I watched the documentary.
Right. Yeah, I did too. It was so good. Oh my god.
God, we are squirreling.
She didn't marry
the
dork on the show. Oh my god, it was casting that.
Well, so on TikTok, half the people are shipping them. And then half of the people want Mike to end up with somebody else.
You're going to have to talk in a way that
anyone else that he just said on TikTok, half are shipping.
Shipping.
And we're supposed to know what you're talking about.
What?
You're trying.
Shipping?
Okay, now you're trying too hard.
No, I really wasn't. I thought that's like 5 years ago.
Shipping
is like when you want people to be in a relationship, it's called shipping them. No?
Oh, okay.
Like that was old. That's not like a new term.
So I do have the ages.
Oh, I thought it was talking. Mm-hmm. Like they're talking. Have you heard that term?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't think we would even say that back in the day?
No.
Yeah.
The ages of the actors, guys. You are right. Two of them are in their 30s.
No.
Are they really?
Yeah. Are they really
30s? Actor that plays Jonathan Byers is 31.
Yeah. Jonathan was an older brother.
Nancy's
though.
30.
Right. She's an older sister.
Jonathan 30. Was in high school last season.
Mayfield is 23. Will Byers is 21.
Okay.
These are not horrible. Lucas is 24.
Wow.
Again, playing 16-year-olds.
Well, I don't know. Are they going to be 16
Dustin
this season?
Is 23, playing a
15-year-old. I'm assuming it's got to pick up relative. I mean, maybe they do some time fast-forwarding.
Sort of a cliffhanger?
I was about to say, you got to kind of pick up where you left off.
No, but don't you have to have some time passing? If 4 years have passed and they're this much older, you can't have them like...
Was it the city like junior,
like they can't be going
to
high school
still.
Yes,
we got a break.
I don't think so.
But make sure if you're watching Stranger Things, load up with some Stranger Things pizzas from our fans at Palermo's. They do have a sale going on right now at Piggly Wiggly. So, you know, watch Stranger Things, eat the Surfer Boy Stranger Things pizza.
Oh, we're having a whole Stranger Things themed meal tonight. Stranger Things pizza, absolutely part of it.
All right, nice.
It is so nice to see you, Craig.
Great.
Happy
to see
Thanksgiving
you.
Eve. Enjoy the festivities with your family. We'll take a break. Be right back after this. Feeling your best starts with taking time for yourself, and for me, that's my infrared sauna from Good Health Saunas. The gentle, radiant heat helps detox my body, boost circulation, and melt away stress after a long day. And listen, guys, if you go to their website, goodhealthsaunas.com/Jen, there's a Black Friday deal that you can take advantage of right now, and it is a pretty significant discount. So go to goodhealthsaunas.com/Jen, check out the Black Friday prices on your Good Health Sauna, and join me in enjoying better skin, better sleep, and better overall mood. Nice of Craig to stop by and chat with us a little bit about Stranger Things. I got to be honest with you guys, it was not on my bingo card for today. I did not see Craig Karmazin swinging by the studio, popping in to talk a little Stranger Things season four?
Five. Final season.
Tonight on Netflix. Will D and Tosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody. Drive safe and have a very happy Thanksgiving.